Quickly the days that are numbered pass by. So quickly the days of God's judgment draws nigh. So heedless of danger we're living today. God's love and mercy we're throwing away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. While He warned off the dangers that lie in their path, but they heed not His mercy and they kindle God's wrath. Pleasures of this world is their only care, for where you have pleasure, their hearts will be there. Men are so busy with worldly achievements, the mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. He said that His kingdom was not of this world. So what is the profit of silver and gold? So cheap it will seem on that great judgment day, when fire and great heat will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements, the mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. Quickly the days that are numbered pass by. So quickly the days of God's judgment draws nigh. So heedless of danger we're living today. God's love and mercy we're throwing away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity for those who so carelessly forgotten their God. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. On those who so carelessly forgotten their God. I was heavy burdened down, the hand of Satan had me bound. I called on Jesus, He had compassion on me. Then His love came coming in, and He took away my sin. I was changed. Satan knew I've been set free, 'cause I've been touched by those hands that were hanging from a tree on a lonely hill that day. He put a song in my heart that keeps me singing. It was Jesus who made me this way. And the world can take all the things that I worked for through the years, they can take this old house I'm living in. But there's one thing I know, they'll never take away from me, and that's Jesus who's living with him. 'Cause I've been touched by those hands that were hanging from a tree on the lonely hill that day. He put a song in my heart that keeps me singing. It was Jesus who made me this way. And the world can take all the things that I worked for through the years. They can take this old house I'm living in. But there's one thing I know, they'll never take away from me, and that's Jesus who's living within. 'Cause I've been touched by those hands that were hanging on a tree on the lonely hill that day. He put a song in my heart that keeps me singing. It was Jesus who made me this way. That's what religion will do. They want to take away this Jesus. The bottom line is, that's exactly what the religious thing will do.
Mm-hmm. I got the proofs in the pudding. That's what they did with me. Whether they extract it or not, whether they like it or not, what the bottom line was, they want to take Jesus away from me. The devil knew I was born again. The devil knew I gave my life to the Lord. So what did he do? He used that religious demonic forces. And these preachers, like, I get worked up over the devil. There's a differentiate between the human being, but see, they're taken over by a religious spirit. And at the end of the day, that religious spirit knows whether he belongs to the Lord or not. And they'll work overtime to take it away from you. They'll put up a phony front and pretend they mean well with you, but they don't. They want to take this Jesus away. I mean, well, that's where I drew the line. You can take my house, you can take my job, you can take my home, you can take my family, you can take everything that's in your power to take. But there's one thing you will never take from me, and that's Jesus that's living within. And like I say, we're the prime proof of that. We're not playing a game. We know we got their number, eh? Mm-hmm. And we have the rights to expose them. That's what we're doing. We're exposing them. And they're rotten to the core, you know. They're family, you know. But the truth of the matter is, you know, the spirit has taken over, a religious spirit, and that they think they're doing God a service. I used to wonder what that means, how people can be so stupid, going out killing people, thinking they're doing God a service. Well, we're living right in it, you know. I've experienced it. Over the years, they come in and they take everything away from you, and they think they're doing God a service. There's nothing you can do about it. You just gotta just leave them with the Lord, who said, "Vengeance is mine; I'm going to repay." That's the nature of the beast, you know. Mm-hmm. That's the hour we're living in. The thing of it is, they got so many people deceived that we're the culprits, you know. And my own family, they believe you and I, we're the culprits, and they're the good guys. Well, they're not the good guys. There's spiritual wickedness in high places. Just because I get worked up and not serious, I don't hate the people, because you got to differentiate between the spirit of the thing. It's the spirit of the thing. And we're exposing them, and we're having a good time doing it. Because, see, you and I, we qualify to expose because we got their number. That my brother-in-law, that idiot from Cyprus. And he is an idiot. He's so stupid that he's completely unhinged from the things of God, from the things of reality. And you can't talk to him. You can't you can't convince him any otherwise, but because he's deceived.
Mm-hmm.
He's taken over by that religious spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But see, I got his number, you know. And that's a beautiful thing about being a Christian. You got their number, you know.
Right.
You can't deceive you. But that's the bottom line here, exactly what that song says. They want to take Jesus away from you. That's what Satan does. All these movements out there, all they're for, they want to take this Jesus away from you. The devil knows you got something.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bottom line. I had this guy I used to know, and he said to me, Sam, I had something. The Lord took me out of alcohol, and he saved me. And then I started going to church, and they took everything away from me. And that's exactly what's going on with these churches out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just exposing them for what they are. Because at the end of the day, you can read it over in the book of Revelation, at the end of the day, their true colors come out. The true, who that religious thing is out there. That's why he said at the end of Revelation there, come out of her, my people, because now the true colors are coming. Now it has evolved into a hole and a cage of every foul and hateful bird. And that's just the danger of the beast. That
yeah.
Just exposing.
Uh-huh. And it's all programmed. Like the Holy Spirit can't flow because it's all a programmed. It's not led by the Spirit of God. It's led by a religious spirit.
All it is a religion. Spirits are finally here at the end time. God says he's going to expose everything. And finally here at the end time, we finally found out what that religious spirit and what that, it says in Thessalonians, the mystery of iniquity. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. That's the mystery of iniquity is religion. No matter how you look at it, mm-hmm. No matter how you paint it up. As long as you're aware of it, you can live in a religious system. But one thing you gotta know, that thing is my enemy. And they're out there to take away everything away from you. Unless, of course, you're not a Christian. Unless you're just a Hutterite, mm-hmm. And you're okay there.
That's right.
They feed you, they give you a house and all that. Mm-hmm. But you're just a Hutterite at the end of the day. That's all you become, that's all you are. And that spirit will lead you out to hell and that. But once you're a Christian, like I know Christians in there. I was a Christian in there forever and a day, till I locked horns with the Gestapo, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a showdown. Showdown came, and at the end of the day, you know, they rule the roost. They call the shots,
mm-hmm.
And you're at their mercy. And they tell you to get out, and then you got to get out because they got that whole Gestapo behind them, you know. You don't have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
They put you into the outs, and then they tell you you can't work anymore. And then, see, I got the proof in the pudding. I went through their torture chambers. And they what they do, they put you in the out. Well, you can't work here anymore. Well, I'll go to the neighbor and work for the neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't eat here. Well, I'll get my own food. Or they tell you, you got to go down to the basement. Humiliate you. You can come to church, but you got to sit out there in the cubbyhole, you know, and things like that. Everything they take your try to take
yes,
away your
right.
your morals and your principles, mm-hmm. And bit by bit, you know. Well, I call their bluff. If I can't go to church here, I'll go up to Arden to go to church. There's a little town up, a little village up here. I'll go. There's a church up there. I'll go up there to church. Well, just called a bluff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord always had an open door. Well, you can't work here. Well, I'll go to the neighboring work. Well, you don't have a family here. Well, that's when they cut the mustard, you know. Well, and you're out of here. Well, that's not the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll get out, you know. And, you know, then the thing of it is, the worst of it is, once I did go work for the neighbor, what they did, they went to the neighbor and threatened the neighbor. If you ever show up in Hutterite colony, you can't come to the colony unless you ask permission to come. See, then they try to humiliate the neighbor. Then I went to the Fletch to go to, they went to their church, they found out about it, so they went to threaten them, and they're contractors, they build barns for colony. Well, if you guys have anything to do with Sam, then you can't build barns for the colonies. That's what they did, like, honestly. Then I moved to Alberta, and then I stayed with his ex-Hutterite. So what did he do? They go after his family, like his family is still in the colony, and he left the colony, so I stayed with him. So what did he do? They call up his parents and told him to kick me out of his house, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And man, I live on, I could tell you. They got a long arm, and see behind is the spirit of Satan, mm-hmm. trying to lure me back into the system where it can control me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I can't be controlled. And here, like I said, when I was sick unto death, here my brother-in-law shows up and calls me up. He wanted to come and visit me. And all he did, when I was sick unto death, you know, when you're sick, you're kind of weak and everything. Oh, you got a good deal going for me. I got a good deal going for me. You come back, and we'll have a royal burial, and everything will be good, and we'll put you to this house with Vicar Moreau, and everything will be good. Well, I told him everything is good right now. It ain't going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to go back home. Mm-hmm. And see, that's what they do. That's that spirit. That's spirit.
Right.
That's all he wants. Mm-hmm. All he's after is take Jesus away from you.
Mm-hmm.
And then they want to control you. And the only way they can control you is to bring you back into the compound. And they have, then you got to be their little slave boy. And they tell you what to do, where to go, what to do and what not to do. Well, it's garbage. It's religion. Spiritual wickedness in high places.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's what they did with Brother Branham.
Yeah.
Wanted to lead him back to the Word of God, back to the faith of the early church. And what do? They auction up a conspiracy to make him to stop preaching.
Yeah.
See, that's that religious, diabolical system. It will do that, trying to stop God. And that's what they tried to do, but, you know, he had to walk it alone.
And that's what they've been trying to do to him. Well, then they shun you. Well, then they try to make you irrelevant. Then they try to put you in an unapplicable box where you don't read. See, then I was with that group after Brother Jackson left. I was with those so-called truthers. And there's the same spirit, you know. If they can't harness you up and make you subject to their ideology, then they put you in a non-applicable box, make you that you don't rate. It's that same spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And see, you and I, we're free. We're doing here, we're doing our thing because we're led by the Spirit of the living God.
Because the devil doesn't like to be challenged. You can see that in the life of Jesus when he challenged them. And they just wanted to. They always thought about a way how to get rid of him. They always had this thing in the back of their head, a plan how to get rid of Jesus. And that's the same when Stephen, they stoned Stephen, that religious spirit just cannot handle a challenge. The devil does not like to be challenged. He likes to have everything wrapped up. And once he has everything wrapped up and then people don't stir the water, then he's fine. But as soon as the Lord comes by and saves a soul, then he starts shaking in his boots.
See, they try to harness up Jesus at first. They, you know, how come you people don't observe the tradition of the elders? They want to harness him into their tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they try to do to Jesus. Well, they couldn't harness him up, and then they figured out a plan how they'll get rid of him. And they started enticing the people have nothing to do with this guy. And if you have something to do with this guy, then you're going to be put out of the synagogues. Well, it's the same thing today. But I see you learn here more than half an hour than you will out there in 10 lifetimes in these religious systems. Because that religious system, whether it's a Hutterite or an Amish or whatever, Mennonite, they'll make sure you never come to the knowledge of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's the nature of the beast. And they were on to them. We get their number. And it's not a very good number that they have. They persecute you, they terrorize you, and then if the Lord allows it, like I told my father-in-law, you'll only do with me what the Lord allows you to do, and then if he allows it, well, it'll be for my benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And then he died, you know, and I'm still here, and going strong, you know, stronger than ever. And we're just trying to expose spiritual wickedness in high places, and we're about the Father's business, mm-hmm. you know, you and I are. And we're the church of the living God, because it says in my name they'll cast out devils. You come through here, you'll get a devil, you leave without the devil. And just if you come here with cancer, you leave without cancer. That's the church of the living God. And if you want to know the truth, we'll tell you the truth, because the church of the living God is built on divine truth. Mm-hmm. Here we got the truth. We got their number. We got it all down pat. And we're going after that spirit. We don't hate the people. We hate that spirit that they're controlled of. Mm-hmm. And they give themselves over to that spirit. But anyway, it's the nature of the beast. More than fame, wealth, or desire, more than all this world's attire, more than anything in my life I've got to make it. Take my possessions, great and small, friends and family you can take it all, but more than anything in my life I've got to make it. Yes, more than anything in my life I've got to make it. I've got to know my name's inscribed in the Lamb's great book of life. I've got to hear him say, well done, enter my child you've won. But more than anything in my life I've got to make it. What good is all I've come to know? I'll gain this world but lose my soul. But more than anything in my life I've got to make it. If I can run and keep the pace, then I'll see his blessed face. But more than anything in my life I've got to make it. Yes, more than anything in my life I've got to make it. I've got to know my name's inscribed in the Lamb's great book of life. I've got to hear him say, well done, enter my child you've won. But more than anything in my life I've got to make it. You may wonder why I choose to live this way, and you may wonder how I make it through the day. Well, I found the answer when I fell down on my knees. I would rather live for him more than anything. Oh, I would rather live for him more than anything I know. More than houses and land, our riches untold, than to live in this world and lose my soul. I tell you, my friend, I would rather live for him more than anything I know. All these earthly things, they will ruin and decay, but it don't matter, I don't need them anyway. For my treasure is over somewhere on the blue. I've given him my everything. Now it's all up to you. Oh, I would rather live for him more than anything I know. More than houses and land or riches untold, than to live in this world and lose my soul. I tell you, my friend, I would rather live for him more than anything I know. The anchor holds, though the ship's been battered. The anchor holds, sails are torn. I upon all my knees as I face the raging sea. The anchor hold in spite of the storm. The anchor hold, though the ship's been battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging seas. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. The anchor holds, though the ship's been battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging sea. The anchor holds in spite of the storm.
I want to show you something here. Just
a little thought here. And God said, that's Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and ever over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. But the thing of it is, I'll read another translation. Then God said, let us make humankind in our image after our likeness. And und Gott sprach, lass uns Menschen machen ein Bild, das uns gleich sei. Like, let us make man in our image. So, you know, and then we lost it, you know, the fall, and then we lost all that, anything spirituality of any kind, and then Satan, Adam and Eve were given a choice, and they lost everything, and then the devil took over. But behind it all, the reason God put man, let us make man in our image, that means that we think like God. That's why for you and I, we can get to know God, because back there it says that's eternal life, that God wants to give us eternal life. But here's eternal life, that they may know God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. So, and if we're created in his image and his likeness, then, and if you go to the scriptures, then you'll find out, then you get to know this great God. That's basically what he's saying. God wants us to get to know him. And see, you and I, we have exhausted every avenue throughout our lives. We went into the Bible, and we got to know this great God. And we take a right over back in Ephesians 1, where we can actually walk right back millions and millions and millions of years ago, when God, that great big council, and like I said, he said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. So God thinks like we think, and we think like God thinks. And like we were saying it over and over again, when you bought this property here, you decided, you took a look at it, and you know what you do, you know what you wanted to improve it. And the first thing you did some landscaping, and then you decided you wanted a fence, and then you sat back and you made a blueprint, and you begin to figure out what kind of material you're going to use, how you're going to make a fence, and you drove around town, and finally you came up with an answer and a solution. You're going to use this type of wood, you're going to use this type of a pole, and eventually you did go get the product, and you went down to the lumber yard, and you got the poles and the fences, and eventually you did get the fence, and now the fence is already built. And that's exactly what Jesus, what the Bible means. Let's make man in our image and our likeness. You did the same thing God did way back then, before there was a star, before there was anything. He just sat down and he had a meeting with himself. He had a council with himself. He was just God, that great eternal spirit. And what he's trying to do, he wants to be fellowshipping with us. All he wanted a family way back then when he sat down. He was all by himself. He did, there was no star, there was no angel, there was absolutely, completely, and nothing. All that was there was that great self-existing one, that great eternal spirit. But he had attributes and he had qualities inside of him, and he wanted to share his attributes and he wanted to share his quality with the human race. But first he wanted to do it with these angels, and then some fell, and then now he's got that angelic host. Now he says, let us, because these angels that he said, that us was these angels that he tested in the prehistoric hour, back, way back, billions and billions of years ago, when he tested these angels and Jude. You can see it, you can go back, and you can see what happened, and he created these angels. He didn't create these angels in time. These angels were created before there was time. And then Lucifer was the last angel that he ever created, and then he said, Lucifer was the son of the morning. He was created at the dawning of time, and then once he was done with his angel, he was said, I'm just paraphrasing it here now, because we want to get to know this great God, and we want to know what it means when he said, let us make man in our image. So what did he do? The first thing he did, once he had created these angels, and Lucifer, he added up the sum, you know, he was the last one. Because, like you do, you know, he fulfilled the sum, you know. Mm-hmm. He was the last one. And then, okay, I'm paraphrasing it. Now I'm going to make a laboratory. I'm going to make a laboratory, and I'm going to give the angels an animal kingdom. I'm going to test them. Who's going to qualify to go into the next phase? And then, so we created this planet, and this planet is, and has always been, a laboratory, where he's the first thing he did, he's going to test these angels that he created. Now, these angels, they're all, there's not one feeble one amongst them, but he gave these angels a freedom of choice. Like he didn't want no robots, like he made the sun, the planets and the sun, they're just more or less, they were created by God, but they run in their orbit, and they have no choice. They just got to run in their orbit. But see here, these angels, he gave them a choice, and he gave them an animal kingdom, and he gave them this planet, a laboratory. Puts them into this laboratory that they were living, and it's still a laboratory, but he's here back then, and the prehistoric billions and millions of years back in Jude, he tested these angels. The angels that kept not the first estate, and to prove it to you that what we're saying here is right, when he told Job back there, Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? There was a time there was no foundation of the earth. Mm-hmm. That was way back when he created the angel. And then it, to prove to you that we're right, he said to Job, Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. See, these angels were back there when he created this big planet. They saw that big explosion. They saw how he created that the foundation of the earth. They were there to prove to you that we're right. But see what he said, now we're building a laboratory and we're going to test you guys to see if you're free to choose the Lord or you want to go out there and do your own thing. And by the time we get to Jude, maybe there were millions of years when these angels were faithful and true, but one day they decided they can do a better job, and they kept not the first estate. They left out, and they kept not their first God-given ability. See, God gave them a state. He had to give them a job to do, and what they did, they decided they could do better, like in today's world, there's people out there, they figured they could do a better job than God can. They figured they can do a better job than Brother Jackson did. And all that, it's still that part of that nature, because God did not want a robot. He wanted these angels to serve him out of their own free desire. You could go do your own thing, but then it's not a good idea. And then he tested those angels in Jude. And then what he had to do, he had to create a place called hell, because at first, that planet was only one-third the size. So what he did, when these angels and Jude fell, he created a place in the center of the earth that's called hell. So what he did, he had to blow up this planet. And that's where you get the mountains. I remember back when I was trucking, I drove through these mountains. And first, the first year, man, living, you were amazed how these mountains and the beauty. And you go down this canyon and down in that canyon, there's a river and a stream running. And after the first year, you know, you're just amazed at everything. But after a year or so, you begin to wonder, you know, how did these mountains get to be like there? Mm-hmm. How did that canyon get to be made like that? And then as time goes on, and you come to the ministry of Brother Jackson, and then he tells you about the prehistoric, and all of a sudden, everything begins to form a picture, and then I'm driving through this big mountain, and then I'm going up, down, up, right up, almost 10,000 feet up, and then you go down, down, and you come right down to sea level almost, and down there, there's a canyon, and down there, there's a little river. And then I find out how it came to be when God pushed up these mountains. There happened to develop canyons and rivers and mountain ranges, and then all of a sudden, these mountains, they begin to speak to me. And I begin to see how what God did back when he created, when these angels and Jude fell, and then he had to create hell, and then he had to blow up this planet, and then when we went to that museum, that guy told him, there's two sets of mountains. These mountains are billions of years old, and then these mountains are millions of years old. So he explained that to us, and then I went and found it over in Job. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? And then I found out, back in Job, it says, When the sons of God shouted for joy, and the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. See, there's two types here now. There's the morning star, and here's the sons of God. The angels and Jude, and then there's three morning stars. There's Lucifer. Now he tested these angels and Jude, and some of them fell, and some of them stayed faithful, about one third or maybe more. I don't know how many, but some of them did not make it. And they fell, and they kept not the first estate, so God had to put them into hell. And now he's going to recreate this planet again. And I found all that in the scriptures and through the ministry of Brother Raymond M. Jackson about the prehistoric. Now he's going to test these morning stars. And he tested Lucifer, and then Lucifer fell, and then he had to blow up this planet. Like I say, it's only one third of the size. Now he's got to blow it up again. And then he's got to, because the Bible backs it up, it says in there, hell widened her borders. You can read it back over in Ecclesiastics and places like that. Where hell widened her borders, he's got to blow this plant up again. And that expands the mystery of the two sets of mountains, you know. And all we're trying to do here, we're trying to get to that place, let us make man in our image. And just like God did back there, he created this thing, this whole thing, and he wants us to be creative, you know. Mm-hmm. You can't be creative sitting in a compound and locked up in a column where you can't even think for yourself. That's you can't right. Go down and decide you're going to make a fence around your thing, because you got to get permission from that Pope, from that zealot that's up there. Everything is controlled by that Mikey from Skyview. The whole colony rotates around a no-brainer, you know. You can't think for yourself, and you gotta think the way he thinks. But see, here, you could go out there, you can decide you want to build a fence, and then you want the guard and all that, and you can do everything, and you can be like a minor god, so to speak, and you can think for yourself, like in that colony. You can't really think for yourself. They think for you. They tell you what you're going to have for breakfast, and they tell you what you're going to have for lunch. And here, you can make your own meal. If you want a bowl of soup, you can just go have yourself a bowl of soup. You can think for yourself. But in these compounds, you can't. That's what I'm trying to say. You're free to think for yourself, to do your thing, and you can do exactly what God did back then. He created all this thing, and we're created in his image and his likeness, and that's the way he wants it, you know. I'm just trying to bring out what God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. Because who's he talking? Who says us? This us that he's talking with, that's this angel that has been tested, that has gone through that laboratory, and they came out on the other end of it, tested, tried, faithful and true.
Because when you will look at Job, what when God spoke to Job, he said, "Where were you when I, singular, created?" See, back then, God was the only one, the existing one that was existing, because he is the only one that self-existing is God. So he said to Job, "Where were you when I created?"
Yeah, it's not us.
And when you will go to Genesis now, it says, "Let us make man in our..." Why did all of a sudden, from the period before time began, when he laid the foundations of the earth, it was singular, and then when he created man, it was plural? That's because between those two incidents is God had already created the angelic kingdom, and they were tested, so now he's using them as someone, as they were to help him, assist him in the plan of creation of man. So that's why it says us. And people, the Trinitarians, they automatically say that Jesus was there in the beginning. Mm-hmm. But Jesus did not exist as a person in the beginning. He existed as a thought in the mind of God before time began, but not, Jesus was not literally sitting up on a throne. That's a Trinitarian doctrine. It's just, and it's not true. Jesus existed, his beginning happened in 33 AD, they say about 2-4 AD. Mm-hmm. That's when the birth of Jesus happened, is 2 AD or 4 AD, between those two time.
His beginning was when that angel came down to Mary, and that's the first sign that you had of Jesus ever being, because he was born back then, 2,000 years ago, and that's the first sign you had of Jesus. Jesus never did exist prior to that. He was only a thought and the mind of God, just like you and I. When God was done with that big council that he had over in Ephesians chapter 1, you can see where God set down that great eternal spirit, and he had a council with himself, and he did exactly what you did when you sat down here and you bought this property, and you sat down and you counseled with yourself, and you decided you want to do the landscaping, and then you decided you want the fence, and that's exactly what God did back then when he said to himself, When he created that foundation, and the first thing he did, created his angels, and then once he had his angels created, he went out there and then built a laboratory. They said it's a planet and the universe and all that, but really what it is, he wanted a laboratory to test his angels with. Now they're tested, and now they're true. There's some that are true and faithful, and then finally he said, when he created man, let us. It's just that simple. Now he's got these angels, they're tested, they're tried. Now we can truly bring them into this council, and now it's no more just God, that great eternal spirit. Now it's us, bringing them into the family structure, because all he ever wanted, he wanted the family, and he wanted to share his attributes, his qualifications, like we're singing that song. For Bivara mentioned Levi, he just wants to share himself with mankind, and he wants you and I to be faithful and true, and that's what we're trying, that's what we're doing here 24/7. That's why he moved on me some time back to get up in the morning, and then he moved on me to sing some songs in the morning, and then he moved on me to get up a little early and start the day with prayer, and we're setting an example and a standard. And if it wasn't for that, if I was disobedient to the Lord and I would have just kept on sleeping, I wouldn't make it. Well, I wouldn't be where I am today. It's impossible to make it through this terrible time that we're now living in without doing exactly what the Lord woke me up to do. He said, Sam, you need to sing these songs in the morning because you're going to be living into an environment that's completely anti-God. And you look out there and you look around yourself and all it is, it's an anti-God environment. And we're living in a place of such spiritual darkness that if it wasn't for me, you and I getting up in the morning and bringing in praying in the day and singing these songs to yank us into the reality, because these songs were written back when that gray horse rider wasn't riding yet. But see, we were under that main beast back then, and these songs, they yank us back into reality and they let us see the hour and time we're living in. And if it wasn't for that, I tell you, I guarantee you, we won't make it, because there's such a darkness. We're encased with such a darkness and the spirit of the age. It's actually practically impossible. And I'm grateful to the Lord that I was obedient when he woke me up at 5 in the morning and said, you got to, in order for you to make it, I'm perfect. In order for you to make it through the hour and time you're living in, you're going to have to get up in the morning and you're going to have to begin your day with prayer. Otherwise, you're not going to make it. And then you're going to have to sing these songs. It's a prayer and a praise and a worship. And if you're not going to do that, you're absolutely not going to make it. And now when I look back, it's exactly right. I could have never made it. We wouldn't know what we know if I wouldn't be doing that. And we'd fall asleep like everybody else does out there. And just the nature to be. It's just the day and hour that we're now living in. A day and hour of such doom and gloom, where Paul talks about it, seducing spirits, doctrines and devils, everything that they talked about, we're right in it. Have perilous times are not coming. Perilous times are here. And that's the only way that we'll make it through the jungle is if we're obedient to the Lord and we're led by His Spirit. Like Jesus said, I can't do nothing without my Father. He was led, and He was the Son of God. He was sinless, and yet He Himself could not do nothing. That's why we pray, Lord, use us for Your glory. Do with us as You see fit, because we can't. We cannot manufacture nothing. All the things you and I can manufacture is a filthy rag, you know. Mm-hmm. Just nothing there to manufacture anything. That's why we have to be completely dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ to lead and guide us through the jungle that we're in. And like, it's all about obedience. I'm glad I was obedient to that heavenly visitor, to that heavenly voice. And today we can keep our head above the water just barely, because we're living in a day and hour where it's practically impossible without doing what we're doing. And we're setting an example. If you can hear it, you can do the same thing we're doing. You can get up in the morning at 5 o'clock or so, and then you can spend an hour, half an hour, whatever you want in prayer. There's always something to pray about, and then you can sing some songs to yank you into reality. You can do exactly what we're doing. Because if you don't, you're not going to make it. It's just that simple. More than anything, we got to make it. Got to make it through the jungle. That's the hour we're living in. We just happen to find ourselves here in these closing days of time, and you only got 3 more years before Satan is locked up, and then Jesus does the day of the Lord thing, and it's all blueprinted. See, God made a blueprint, and He put it down in the book of Revelation, and we understand the book of Revelation right to the teach. And where did we get it from? From these two great men, Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. Without them, we would be just as lost as the multitudes out there. Mm-hmm. Just that simple.
That's right. So I was reading Nehemiah and Ezra when they went back to Jerusalem, got permission from the king, and they went back to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. And Ezra was a scribe. He was a priestly scribe. And in Ezra, God had imputed the wisdom of the law and His teaching. So what the king wanted, the king of the Medes and the Persians, he wanted him to go and teach the children of Israel the laws of God. And that's what he did. And that's what Brother Branham and Brother Jackson did. They were scribes to teach us the laws of God and His word. That we didn't know, because I had read my Bible and there were so many questions mm-hmm. that I had in the book of Revelation about the seven church ages, the four beasts in the book of Revelation, and so many questions that I had, And when I came to the ministry of Brother Brennan, Brother Jackson, those were the scribes, those priestly scribes that helped us understand these teachings. And that's all we're doing now, is to help you understand and get to know God. Because that's how I got to know Him, is reading His Word. God is in His Word. Mm-hmm. And that's where I got to have these questions. And in those questions, God gave me the answers through the ministry of Brother Brennan, in order for me to get to know who He is. And that's all we're doing now, is just like Ezra did back in 445 BC, when they went back to rebuild the walls and to teach the people about the laws and the ways of God, because they had lost so much because of going into apostasy and worshiping false gods and going away from the laws of God. They lost it. So Ezra was imputed with that wisdom, because he was a priestly scribe, and he taught the rest of the people. And that's all we are doing, is to teach people who God is, and that we are created in His image, and He wants us to know Him. Mm-hmm. Because if we're created in His image, that means He wants us to get to know Him, because it's not that complicated. Because yeah. we are created in His image, and therefore it is easy for us in our understanding of who we are as humans, that God is in the same way, because we are created in His image.
Amen to that. And that's all we're doing. We're just repeating what they've already taught, because here in this closing day of the time, you won't hear it out there in the church world. Even the people that come out from under the mm-hmm. ministry of Brother Jackson, Brother Brennan, the Lord let me know that they're going to do everything they can to destroy everything that Brother Jackson, Brother Brennan ever taught. Mm-hmm. And then he called on you and said, remember the things you've been taught, remember who you've been taught them from, and separate yourself from these tugs. Because now, all these people that come out from under the ministry of Brother Jackson, now all they got the one ambition, and like I said the other day, you can take it to the microscope, at the end of the day, they got one ambition, that it's to destroy everything that Brother Jackson ever taught. Mm-hmm. And you and I, we're holding a line onto the truth, and at the end of the day, we'll stay faithful and true, and we continue to do what the Lord leads and guides us to do. If He tells us to wake up in the morning, then we'll wake up in the morning. If He puts us on a 40-day fast, we'll go on a 40-day fast, because our very existence depends on it. And the people that we're supposed, that are sitting under our watch, that are depending on the things that we say and do, they'll also have an expected end. But see, we have to draw an example. And so far we've been faithful and true, doing our level best to stay faithful to what the Lord has called us to be. And that's the bottom line. And we're trying our level best, even though we're living in a darkness and a time of an era where it's exactly what the Bible says, work while it is yet day, for soon the night cometh when no man can work. And we have arrived. We're right here. We're only 3 more years till the coming of the Lord, where Satan is tied up, because Satan has only got so much time allotted to him. He was given, ever since he went after Adam and Eve, he somehow won a contract. I don't know what all took place, but somehow he won a contract that he could practice his garbage and his diabolical plan and everything. And he's got 6 days, 6,000 years to do it in. Once these 6,000 years expires, that big angel, he comes and he throws him into hell. And then Jesus comes and sets up his kingdom, his millennial reign for 1,000 years. And then the kingdoms of this world evolve into the kingdoms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's just that simple. It's a very simple program. But see, because we're created in the image and the likeness of God, then we can understand that, because He said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. That's why it's so easy for you and I to understand it. But we can only understand it since we came under the umbrella of the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. That's where we got our answers from. And we're just putting it out there now. So whosoever will, let them come. You could get the same thing we're doing. And you get the same reward, because the Bible says, he that believes a prophet and the name of a prophet, all you got to do is believe it, and then you will receive the same reward. He that believes a prophet and the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. God, he's a very fair shooter. He's very faithful and very fair, and there's no way that he will acquit the wicked. Wicked people, they're going to just continue to do wicked things. But see, we're of a different caliber. We're in a different frequency. That's what we're trying to say here today. We're created in his image and his likeness, and we can think exactly the way he thinks, only on a very minute little scale. Just a minute. We're minor, really minor gods if we allow the Lord, the Spirit of God, to lead and guide us.
Heavenly Father, we just had a little conversation around your word, Lord, and you help us to know you according to your word, Lord, through the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson, what you've done in the hour of Laodicea. You help us to get to know the true and living God, the God that called out Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one true God, not this Trinity God. And we're just trying to help people to understand who you are, Lord, and that they can worship you in spirit and truth, Lord, and not in this false God of Trinity, gods that the devil introduced to humanity, Lord. So we just want to clear up all the errors that have been implanted in the human's existence, Lord. So we just want to other people also to get to know who you are. We just give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.